I don't think I've ever felt more out of my depth in my life. Just the sheer trepidation of this amazing endeavour that we were about to set out on. But as a number of people have said, the moment you get on the bike and start riding, all of that kind of fear melts away and it's just you, the bike, and the miles ahead, which is a nice feeling. But it's not such a nice feeling when you're sitting here waiting for things to happen.
The best part about the start is actually when you just hop on your bike and they say go, because I tend to get intimidated when I see so many people and their bikes look so professional. They look so professional. I thought, oh my gosh, am I really going to do this? Am I going to be able to do this?
Hi. Welcome to Girasbergen, and this is headquarters for Transcontinental Starting Grid this evening.
Have a seat.
What number have you got?
181.
Yeah. 181.
Cool.
My name's Rory Kemper. I'm one of the directors of Lost Stop, and I'm the race coordinator for the Transcontinental Race. Today is registration, so it's about getting the riders through, making sure they're medically fit, making sure they've got adequate insurance cover.
I like it. Your wheel is very straight. It's beautiful.
And there's the bike check out in the car park.
I'm Sam. I am one of the volunteering bike mechanics, checking bikes, making sure that people's bikes are going to be safe for the long ride. We're checking the basic things, like they have a frame and two wheels, some handlebars normally, but there's also like what most people would think is quite basic as well, making sure brakes work and the tyres are inflated and so on. There's no kind of major defects, but it's I think it's important to have bike mechanics doing it so they can like spot problems quickly, and that's kind of what we need given that we've got to check 300 bikes in 6 hours. Yeah. Fabulous. Where's your sheet?
I'm Cat 127. My name is Sheila Willem, and we're here in Girasbergen, and we're at the sign-in and the registration. And how am I feeling about it? I'm bloody awesome to the outside world. I'm bricking it to the inside world. But you know what? I'm just ready to go now. Everything that I've been doing for the last 2 years has been leading to this, because I saw it about 3 years ago and thought, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. And then I've just been thinking, nah, I'm not ready now. All right, okay, I'm doing it. So that's it. I'm here. Woo! Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what I've got, you know? I've never done anything before like this, because this is solo. This is right up my street. You know, I like bivvying and doing things the hard way. So I'm coming to it with gumption. Lots of gumption. Grit, determination and gumption.
I'm Juliana Fury, and I'm race coordinator. I've been organising the checkpoints and the volunteers and, basically the coordinator of everything. So, yeah. Transcontinental Race is a unsupported bikepacking race across Europe. I won't say it's the toughest, but it certainly is tough. And it generally tends to be between 3,700 to 4,000 kilometres. And the checkpoints change every year. The front and the finish can change. Everything changes. So there's never a record to beat, because every year is different, and everyone's record every year, everyone's race every year is different. And that's what makes it special, I think. And riders have to choose their own routes between checkpoints, and all they've got to do is ride the designated parkours and checkpoints, and the rest is up to them, and it's anyone's game out there. So fun part of the Transcontinental is not that the best will win, it's that the most prepared will probably do better than the fastest. So you've got to be good at navigation, you've got to be good at time management, stopping, finding your food and water, figuring out your schedule of sleep, everything, how to fix your bike. You have to be good at it all. So you've got to know how to do everything, not just riding your bike. And that's what's so cool about the race. I think that's why so many people want to do it, because it's a challenge mentally, physically, and challenges your skills on all levels.
Why do I love this race? Why do I love this race? You are recording, you bastard.
My name's Camille, and I'm one of the photographers that follow the race from here to there. So I love the spirit of it. I love what it represents. And people are doing it for lots of different reasons. It's an antidote to So when I used to do all the pro racing, I just found it so clinical and boring, and there wasn't many stories. Whereas this, there's how many people are riding, that's how many stories there are. It's just, yeah, it's just, I find it incredible.
My name's Dermot O'Grady. I live in Ireland, and my number is 121. And this is my first race of any kind that I've ever entered. I mean, life's great, you know, and a happy family and all that kind of thing. But sometimes you just think you just want to step outside that and do something completely out of your comfort zone. And that's what the TCR was for me, you know. And it's way outside my comfort zone. I've really no idea what's going to happen, you know. I've been trying my best with the training, but it's a big unknown. But that's what makes it so exciting, you know.
My name's Chris Thomas, and I'm number 18. Scarily 18. I don't know whether that means that's the place you're meant to come in the race, whoever they've predicted. Hopefully it's just based on my birthday, which is the 18th. So I'm hoping it's that, but it feels like whenever I look at the board of names online, I'm up there with all the people, all the heroes that I've been watching over the years. I'm like, oh, that's a bit intimidating. So I'm a little bit frightened of that. But it's been nice to kind of mingle with everybody and see that everyone is as frightened as I am, and that it's not just me that's been nervous for the last month continuously with, you know, anticipated butterflies about everything and worried about everything. It seems that everyone has the same, you know, nervousness. So that's been quite a relief.
My name is Andrea and my number is number 6. So, very, very good number for me. I don't think that someone could say, yes, I'm ready. It's like a diving, you know, before you jump. What there is at the end, in the bottom, I don't know. I would see. I would jump in the dark, I would see. To be honest, I don't know.
My name is Roger Seaton. I'm cap number 34, and I'm doing Transcontinental number 6 on a Chapter 3 Brompton, Transbromtinental. Rationale behind this is every time I ride this bike during the week, I smile. And I did this race last year, and it was great, but I thought if I could do it again, I would do it on my folding bike and laugh every morning, which I reckon I'm going to need because you require a bit more effort on these. But the bike's pretty kitted out. It's a pretty customised version, titanium front. It's got an Elfin 11-speed hub. The luggage is all geared for bivvying, water. It's just like a normal bike, but with smaller wheels.
I spent a very long time planning the kit list, you know, months and months. Even probably before I entered, I'd already got the kit list specced out because I spent a lot of time reading other riders' reports and stuff. So I was reasonably controlled when I set off, but I do remember, you know, waving goodbye to my wife and that strange feeling of you setting off with everything that you're going to need for the next 2 weeks and nothing more and nothing less, sort of thing. It's between you at the front door and when you're going to finish, hopefully. Everything that you need has to be there on the bike.
Hello, my name's Daniel Brayson. I rode the Transcontinental race last year, and the race was characterised very strongly by a heat wave which had come to be known as Lucifer. And I think the overriding memory that I have from last year is just heat. It was just suffocatingly hot, and I think many people suffered as a consequence. The race itself was won by James Hayden. He's back again this year for another crack to defend his title. So Bjorn Leonard is racing again, so I expect those two to be jostling it out at the front end of the race.
My name is Bjorn Lenhardt, and my rider number is number 2 this year. The TCR is special because you have to make your own route. And why I'm coming back? Well, it's almost a big adventure every time again. Last year I was leading the race for quite a while, so I got into really a one-way place, let's say, where I had to ride back for a certain amount of kilometers, and James Hayden, he just has seen it and he turned right before it.
My name is James Hayden, I'm TCR cap number 1. And I'm feeling pretty good, yeah. Just a registration and trying to get this through. I mean, this is going to be my fourth time I'm starting, having finished twice. So I'm not really very nervous anymore. I'm quite prepared. I know exactly what I need to bring. I know this, I know that. So it's
yeah, it's pretty relaxed for me actually, because the route's pretty simple this year. There's not so many options, and the route from the start to checkpoint one, 400 kilometers, the same as last year. So I spent a lot of time on that route last year, and I can just reuse it this year. So it's okay, really. Yeah, want to get racing.
Hey.
Hi.
What are you doing?
I'm looking for your doctor's note and your insurance check.
Doctor's note.
I'm Mikko Mäkipää, and I'm number 4. This is my 6th transcontinental so far. I've every time made it to the party. You'd be surprised how many people immediately after start get lost. And in the first crossing, they stop and see, where should I go? And it started 3 times here before, and this is the 4th time. And 2 times I've been lost almost immediately after climbing the moor. So you really need to be careful with these kind of things. When you, after 2 minutes, have to stop and see, where am I? That's really the moment where you realize that you're really doing the transcontinental.
My name is Beate, and my cap number is 196. Yeah, I'm a rookie, and I'm so nervous because I've never done something like that before, that big, and I have no idea how it's going to go, but I've been dreaming about that for many years, so I just give it a go and see how it's gonna be, because it's self-supported. I'm all by myself, pretty much all the time, I guess.
I'm Thomas. I'm from the Netherlands, and last year I was rider 24. Transcontinental number 5 was my big first race. I did a lot of touring and a lot of long-distance riding, but racing something like this was really a first-timer. It's about taking care of yourself on the road. Being able to actually make a route and follow that, fix it if it goes wrong, taking care of your hygiene, eating on time, making sure that you've got all your drinking sorted and that you keep drinking, all that sort of stuff is way more important than the actual fitness, I'd say. The weeks building up to actually coming here to be at the start and to have all your stuff ready, to be mentally ready and to be physically ready was quite something. I had a knee injury beforehand already, but still 2 to 3 weeks before the actual race I decided that I wanted to start, mainly because it was the big year and we lost Mike and everything all together, so I decided to go for it.
I'm Tom Kirkpatrick. Mostly this year I've handled tracking, so the tracker management system that we use, and making sure we get people on the map with track leaders. The Transcontinental race was Mike Hall's race. It was the race that he started and he founded it. And in March 2017, he was racing in Australia and he was hit and killed by a car driver. And learning what happened to Mike in March, when preparation for the race was already well underway, we were quite close to the race start at that point, and then had a very emotional and difficult decision to make to keep the race going as best, you know, that year. But it was for everyone, for us in organising it, for the riders, we could see it was a really emotionally charged day. And then, of course, The tragedy of Frank being killed on the first night of the race was a fairly overwhelming feeling for us, taking that news as it became clear what had happened and that it was one of our riders. The feeling of grief again, really.
My father, he participated last year.
Yes.
Yeah, but he it's a little bit tragic, but he Frank Simons, yeah, so I'm his son. So I think last year was 28th of July, he arrived here well prepared, you know, did this whole process of registering and the briefing, and then I think it was 10 o'clock, so we were not here last year, he was by himself, ready for the race, completely prepared, fully prepared, and the race started at 10 o'clock. We have seen some footage of him being at the start. And then I think, after 5 hours riding, I think he only made 84 kilometers. It was 3 a.m. in the morning, next morning. And he was riding in Belgium on a dark road. And he got hit by a car from the back at 3 a.m. And there were four people who have seen the accident, four scouts who were present by accident at 3 a.m. in the middle of the night. And they were first there to help him, to see if they could help him. But soon it was clear he had passed away. Just in the scene, you know. Yeah, and that was the end of his big adventure. Yeah, very soon after the start.
Ladies and gentlemen, may we ask for 1 minute of silence, please? And now, 1 minute noise for heaven!
The excitement is great because they're going to do a loop. The riders will do a coordinated loop together. It's not part of the race. And while they're going around the loop, everyone else will run up to the top of the mirror and wait for them. So we'll all be at the top cheering them on as they head into the great dark night.
Come on.